This is Call and Response, a public affairs segment that celebrates the diversity of the Miami Valley. I'm Darrell Ward, and I talk for a living in the Black church and in the community. Today, we're going to talk about drugs and addiction. It's a serious problem in the Miami Valley. Some lawmakers are urging the governor to declare a public health emergency. In fact, as you will likely know, we are in the midst of a heroin epidemic. Joining us today is someone confronting this problem head on. He is Dr. Abdul Mubarak from the Cornerstone Project. He's a medical doctor who had a private practice for a number of years, but now works exclusively with drug addicts. Let's start with how he got started.
Actually, when I came out of my residency at Good Sam, I was a family practice. I had no intention, not even a remote thought of doing addiction. Around 1987, maybe about 2 years after I got out of residency, I was actually approached by someone in the Outlaws. Okay, I won't say who that was because then I'll be disclosing their confidence. That person I had...
Hold up. What is the Outlaws?
The Outlaws is was a motorcycle biker gang who were involved with drug trade. And back then when I was dealing with them, they were involved with the methamphetamine, PCP type drug trade. And turned out the guy in the Outlaws actually liked me and then started to tell his other members that if you go see me as a doctor, I would help them. Of course, I didn't actually say that to him, but he told people that I would help them. And then I started having a group of guys and Outlaws coming to see me asking for help. I initially, hate to say it, tried to refer them away, but there was nowhere to refer them. And I say, well, I got to do something. And so I tried. I learned on my own. And then I actually then met Forrest Tennant, who was a drug advisor for the National Football League at the time. I called him up. He agreed to mentor me, and he became my mentor in the field around 1988. And I actually like it. And then I found out I had personality characteristics that actually fit very well for dealing with drug addicts. I'm pretty much non-judgmental. I don't really hold a person's past against them. I don't tend to look down on other people. This kind of made me a good match. And I had some upbringing of being around some criminal element when I was in high school. And so I had some comfort, and I didn't have a level of fear of being around people who were involved with criminal activities. And so I kind of, as I say, the field kind of picked me, and I don't think I picked it. It kind of picked me. But I continued on, and when my family practice closed in 2008, I continued with the addiction and doing pain management. And now that I'm out of pain management, I continue to do what I love, which is still doing addiction medicine. So we use medications to assist addicts in attaining sobriety. So our goal is to do somewhere between 16 to 20 programs across the state of Ohio over the next 5 years. Primarily spurred on by the urgency of heroin addiction and the number of overdose deaths that have occurred in Ohio.
So do you ever feel some hesitation in dealing with people who are drug addicted by giving them more drugs?
No, because I don't feel the hesitation because, again, what I'm looking at is that I'm giving them medicines. And the way I differentiate that is that when I'm using the word drug, I'm looking at the person taking something that deteriorates their life. And when I use the term medication, that they're taking something that actually improves their life. So when we're giving medications for, let's say, opiate addiction, cocaine, or whatever we're giving it for, I'm looking to see that the person has a functional improvement in their life. And that lets me know we're on the right track in terms of using medication for treating the addict.
When you say you treat people, do you treat them medically, with counseling, or with – how do you treat them?
Basically, I treat them like I would treat a diabetic. As a doctor, I'm treating them in a medical model. There's going to be some diabetics, all they need is just a little counseling to modify their diet. So in the addict, there's going to be some that just need a little counseling to modify their living environment, okay, and they can get away. There's going to be some diabetics who need oral medicines, or some diabetics is going to need insulin or insulin pumps. So for me, in terms of dealing with addiction, I'll deal with treatments that aren't medical assistance, counseling, AA, religious faith interventions. I'll deal with medication assistance, methadone, Suboxone, Vivitrol. So for me as a doctor, any and all of those treatments, then as a doctor, yes, I'm willing to use any and all of those as treatments for the patient.
Dr. Mubarak, you mentioned medication-assisted treatment. Why is this type of treatment becoming more popular?
The popularity of medication-assisted treatment is because right now we're in the midst of an opiate epidemic, okay, with particularly heroin and some prescription drugs like OxyContin, Percocets, Vicodin, et cetera. Research has basically shown over the last 50 years that medication-assisted treatments are the best, have the best treatment results. For the average a heroin user, if we were to give him, let's say, a three-day detox in the hospital, we would be looking at relapse rates around 95-98% relapse. Even if we, let's say, give the person a 30-day treatment, taper them over time over 30 days, we would be looking at about a 90% relapse rates. So these are unacceptable rates of failure. With medication assistance, let's say if we use methadone or we use buprenorphine, Suboxone, we're looking at if we treat the addict for a good 2 to 3 years and then taper them off over, say, a 9-month period, we're looking at a relapse rate now reduced to about 40%. So if we can increase the percentage of people getting sober from 2% to, say, upwards toward 60%, obviously, we would go with the treatments that are best, just like we would for hypertension, diabetes, cancer, or anything else. There would be no one who would accept a treatment where I told them that the chance that your mother's going to make it through breast cancer is only going to be 2%. There wouldn't be a patient in their right mind who would nod and smile at me and say, okay, that's a good treatment option, doctor. So we're looking at the same thing for the addict, okay? These are little brief, little treatment periods. Even to go without medicine, we know they have dismal failure rates. And this has been observed pretty much across the country. Even state officials are looking at the data that exists for medication-assisted treatment, and they're now coming on board and they're funding those things.
Is the cornerstone treatment free?
No, it's not free, but they say that the old expression, there's nothing good in life that's free, and getting treatment off of drugs is not free either. We're able to take Medicaid, and we don't take a lot of private insurance only because the insurance companies tend to play games with us as treatment people and short changes. So obviously, if we're taking Medicaid, it's not that we're piling up a pile of gold. But Medicaid tends to just be straight with us, so we do the service. They pay us for the service. We are involved with trying to do some things to increase our capability to take care of indigent clients. But right now, we're a new startup business. We've only been out there for about 18 months. So our capacity for that is limited, but we hope to increase that capacity later.
What can a listener do if they have a loved one who they're listening to this show and they see you as a sign of hope? What should they do?
Well, what the listener should do if they're looking at a loved one, they should give us a call, and then they should find out from probably our counseling team how to really intervene on that person. The license to do drugs is given to them by God. And what I mean by that is that God has given human beings free will. So it's not my job to get into that part, but it's my job to help the person out of it. And then maybe they can reestablish their right relationship that they didn't get started in the beginning. And I don't know that there's any human being that can say that they didn't veer off or didn't do something at some particular point. And so it's not up to me to be involved with judging that. It's just up to me to help where I can and understand that there's a guy in the mirror that needs some help himself. So sometimes we say that you can't do anything until the person's ready. Well, there's techniques and things that the family can do to make them ready. And you don't have to wait until they've totally destroyed their life. But that probably needs to be something that's organized. People have seen these things on cable TV where they talk about intervention. And these things can be done in real life, but they should be guided by a professional.
Dr. Mubarak, what would you say to sum up this time that we've spent?
We are in the middle of a drug epidemic. We do need to see about what we need to do as individuals to decrease the activity or the green light for people to do and try drugs. That's for one. So parents, teachers, people in society need to do things to diminish that. And what I mean particularly by that is that we have a culture where the American almost cannot have entertainment unless they do some sort of drug or alcohol. They can't watch a football game. They can't go out to a picnic. They can't have a family get together unless they're either getting high, smoking marijuana, something. Okay, so when we give that sort of message to our children, even if we're just drinking a Bud Light or whatever, we basically have taught our child that having an altered mind is a way to have entertainment. Okay, instead of, in my view, using your mind, well, primarily, which is for prayer. The intellectual guidance, true science, things like that, and to use your mind to be the recipient of God's guidance. Now, that's my own individual view, but I don't think the human mind was meant to be trashed with drugs and alcohol. But considering the fact that everyone doesn't really hold that view, there's going to be a number of people who make their way into drugs and alcohol. And so really, instead of moralizing on them, we need to see about open up treatment options and people getting them into treatment. And then people can have their moral dialogues on the side while we're decreasing the harmful effects of drug and alcohol for these human beings.
Thank you, Dr. Mubarak. This has been an incredible show, and I really appreciate your work and your ministry. That was Dr. Abdul Mubarak, Chief Medical Officer of the Cornerstone Project, a drug recovery center in Dayton, Ohio. Our executive producer is Dana Perkins. Today's feature was produced and edited by Basim Blunt. I'm Daryl Ward.